Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry. Well, I got a co-host today. We know she's probably going to take over at some point. Jen Schroeder. Jen, thank you so much for joining us tonight on the D1 Softball Podcast.
You're talking like you know me or something, Tara. Like, you just know my tendencies already. I'm so excited to be here. My job tonight is to steal Gray Robertson's job. I'm coming for you, Gray.
Yeah, Gray's at work right now. He's at the Bama-Arkansas game. So we're just thankful that Jen was able to fill in for Gray tonight. And remember, the podcast is presented by S2 Cognition. Thank you to our friends at S2 Cognition for powering this podcast. If you're not a subscriber on this site, head on over and use promo code PODCAST20, that's PODCAST20, for 20% off an annual subscription. You can head on over there now, like I said, PODCAST20. So we're going to get right into it. Jen, we're going to start with the weekend. And I know we've had plenty of chatter on Twitter all day long about what happened last weekend. So we're going to get straight into it and really dive into what happened with the leadoff. All right, we're starting in the SEC, Jen. Let's talk about what happened in the SEC this past weekend. I think there's a huge story that is not only in the SEC, but across the country.
Are you talking about Pickens and Tennessee, or are we just talking about how good Tennessee is right now? Because, man, they're playing lights out, and we've got to give credit to Pickens. Graham Hayes wrote an incredible article on D1 Softball comparing everyone's first outings. By everyone, I mean the likes of Megan Faramo and Valerie Cagle and what they were able to do in their first two starts as freshmen in conference. And it wasn't what Pickens did, because she has thrown two back-to-back one-hit shutouts, obviously through one last weekend and then again this Saturday. So I don't know, Tara. I think Tennessee is without a doubt the team to beat in the SEC right now. Do you agree?
I agree with you, Jen. And just looking at the staff with a 0.62 ERA for the Vols. And then we talked about Kiki Malloy last week. To have a player like that, a 5-tool player in Kiki Malloy to lead that offense, it's just, I think Tennessee, well, not I think, I know Tennessee is the team to beat in the SEC, 4-0 last week and moving on up in the polls, which, don't worry, we'll get there in a bit on the top 25. So that's Tennessee versus LSU, the sweep there at LSU. Then we're going to head to Florida and Mizzou. Jen, I know you got some thoughts on this. What are your thoughts on the Gators and the Tigers?
You know, to me right now, Florida is just not playing their best softball. I feel like Florida is defined by Skylar Wallace right now. And Skylar Wallace is without a doubt one of my favorite hitters in the entire country. But without them, or without her, I think Florida maybe gets swept, Tara. I'm just going to call it. I think without Skylar Wallace in the lineup, Florida may have very well gotten swept by Mizzou this past weekend.
You know, Jen, I think you look at a player like Skylar Wallace, and we watched them, or I watched them back in Palm Springs, and they were in shambles. But to see what Tim Walton has been able to do over the past 2 weeks, like, we always say this about Florida, and then somehow they end up at the Women's College World Series because they just seem to get it done. So, again, they could have easily gotten swept. I hear that. But again, with a player like Skylar Wallace back in the lineup, they're always tough when a team that runs like that is able to manufacture runs. So that's Florida over Mizzou. Then we're going to go to Mississippi State and South Carolina. Jen, thoughts on that series? Let me see if I can pull up this graphic.
Okay. I was hoping that you were going to go there, because my thought on this series was the tweet that you sent me that I hope that you are finding right here. I mean, this is Mississippi State just throwing shade at South Carolina. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I love when programs get a little sassy on Twitter. I'm all for it. But Tara, I know you sent this to me, and we were both a little like, ooh, they went there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sweep for Mississippi State over South Carolina. But again, I agree. I like when programs get a little bit chippy, all in good fun. But So I think he actually had his mouth over a softball, and that's just photoshopped in the Gamecock there. So that's Mississippi State over South Carolina. Then we're going to head to the series that's happening right now. Jen and I both don't have the game on because we're here with you. But Arkansas and Alabama, I believe there was a home run that maybe been hit. But Jen,
you know, let's talk about the home run, Tara. I mean, you were a center fielder. If you watched this home run hit, literally, Kevin called it like it was caught. He literally called it, saying this ball was caught, and the ball tipped off of Johnson's glove in center field and got out. So Alabama, the last I checked, we just got a comment. This game is now tied 1-1. But when we started this podcast, it was a 1-0 game. And if you're Dels in the circle, I mean, I looked at her facial reaction when her center fielder did not make an effort for the ball, and it immediately just got me in my gut, like, a center fielder has got to make a better effort at that ball. But it looks like it's all tied up right now, Tara. Who do you pick? Who do you pick in that rubber match?
You know, I think earlier today we were talking about this, and Montana Fouts, she had that kind of look in her eye with that challenge. And we know when her back's against the wall, she's a tough competitor. So I was picking Bama. I'm picking Bama to pull this one out in Tuscaloosa at home. I love these comments. And if you have any comments, we can see some of them here on our chat. So keep them going throughout the podcast, and we'll try and get to them. But Jen, who are you picking?
Okay, so Tara, I've really thought about this because I tweeted it yesterday. We put up the poll. We said we're going to discuss it tonight. And I thought going into this that Bama was going to win. And all day today, I have just been feeling the hog. So I'm calling them. Pig Suey. I'm going hogs today.
I was wondering when that was coming up. Always good for that. So that's, we're heading around to the SEC. We're going to head to the PAC because we have an allotted time for this section and we're way over. But, you know, we can do what we want. We're heading to the Pac-12. Jen, Utah winning on the road in at Hillenbrand against Arizona. I know you were following that series very closely. Thoughts on Utah and that big win at Arizona?
I don't think anybody is talking about Utah enough, myself included. They go into Hillenbrand and they win their 11th straight game. Even me, who follows college softball very seriously, I did not even realize that they were doing that well. Bonstrom wins her second Pac-12 Player of the Week award. She's only the second player in Utah history to ever win two of those. But here's the even better stat to me. Abby Dayton, she wins the first ever for Utah Pac-12 Freshman of the Week award. So I just want to tip my cap to her. Tara, I know she's a bat buster, so I got to give her a little love, though. I wasn't a bat buster. I know you were. But Utah is a team that is absolutely on fire. And if they're on your schedule in this Pac-12 conference, they are a team that I'm putting an asterisk by because I would not want to meet up with them right now. They're playing lights out.
Yeah, you got to love those Batbusters. Shout out to the Batbusters. Why not? But, you know, it's interesting, Jen, that you say this because I remember in the fall when I talked to Amy Hogue, the head coach at Utah, and she was really feeling this team. And, you know, they were still pretty sour and salty from last season. And I do think they've taken that and really they came back more in shape with a different mindset. And we're seeing that. And just with that win over Arizona, again, I agree with you. I would not want to face them arguably at all in any means. And then we'll head to, we're staying in the pack. We'll head to Oregon State at Cal, which Cal upset UCLA last week. We saw that. But this had a little ending. This happened twice this weekend with time constraints. Jen's thoughts on Oregon State and Cal ending in a tie.
You know, my thoughts on time constraints, though, in general, Tara, is that softball games used to be 90 minutes long. We know softball games are not that short anymore. And so we've got to figure out a better way, not just for softball, but for female sports, to get the time and attention that it deserves, because we should not be ending games because of time constraints. So honestly, it angers me. It makes me mad that that ends in a tie. That's a game that shouldn't end in a tie. We should be able to finish that game. And you're right. We didn't have just one this weekend. We had two. And then obviously everybody knows about Kentucky, Texas a few weeks ago as well. And so to me, it shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Texas State and Troy, same thing, ending early because of travel constraints. Again, our writer Graham Hayes with that on the site on d1softball.com. This is the D1 Softball Podcast sponsored by S2 Cognition. Here with Jen Schroeder, our guest co-host of the week. We're going to head out to the Big 12 and the Big 10. We had OU, Northwestern, Auburn, and Weber State at Hall of Fame Stadium. How cool is that to play in Oklahoma City at Hall of Fame Stadium this early in the season?
Wait, Tara, I'm sorry. I have to retract a little bit because we skipped right over Oregon Stanford. Are you doing that because of time? Because we've got to talk about this series. Because Stanford, is this me jumping in and taking up more time than it's allotted? I don't care. I think people want it, Tara. Stanford was on. Are you kidding me? Allie Bunker goes in with two RBIs, a base hit in the first, and then a bomb in the sixth to beat Stanford and just absolutely snap their winning streak. We've got to talk about it, Tara. We can't skip them.
No, we're not skipping them. We're talking about it right this second. We're still in the pack. We're still in the pack with Stanford and Oregon, and got an close game that third game as well. Oregon is tough. Let me tell you, I've been able to watch them in person this season, and that offense and you know, with Missy Lombardi and what she's able to do with any pitching staff. Another team in the pack. Wait, Jen, what did you say earlier about the games this past weekend and where the toughest games were?
Oh, without a doubt, in my opinion, the best games, week six, were played in the Pac-12. Now, here's the issue. None of you can really watch them because even we struggle watching them, and we live on the West Coast and played in the conference. It's so hard to watch. But let me tell you, the Pac-12 had some of the best games, I think, all around. Every single match.
Yeah, we've lost Jen. I think she's super fired up about the Pac-12. And then we'll head. Oh, wait, she's back. Here she is.
I was kicked off. I was kicked off, everybody. I have no idea what happened, but here I am.
That's your time constraint button.
Okay, knock me off. Yeah, okay, I'll zip it. That's the key.
So that is the pack. And we hope that if you all can view it, that you are able to watch it. But again, we do know it's difficult to get the Pac-12 games across the country. But they were great this weekend. And we'll head into another Pac-12 game later on in this segment. But let's go back to Hall of Fame Stadium and the games played there. Jen, thoughts on the games at Hall of Fame Stadium this past weekend?
I mean, I'm unsure if I'm allowed to open my mouth and talk about Oklahoma anymore without just every Boomer Sooner fan jumping my you-know-what on Twitter. But Oklahoma is doing Oklahoma things, and they're winning. But I do want to give a shout-out to Northwestern, which I know is a team that is near and dear to your heart, Tara, because Northwestern very much impressed me. And I just love the way that they compete at Hall of Fame Stadium. It just seems like when they get there, you know, that's the home of the Women's College World Series, and they just step it up. So in talking about Northwestern, I absolutely do not want to take anything away from Oklahoma, just putting that out there, but I just want to give a little shout out to Northwestern and how they played this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think Northwestern, they're always going to compete, and that's one of the things that I really appreciate about the Wildcats and that staff. And again, we're seeing a little bit more of a Daniel Williams that settled, and then Boyd as well, stepping in there as well. Oklahoma State, UCF had a series. We're going to skip to the ACC because we're 7 minutes over, but we're good. We got Virginia Tech over Georgia Tech, Florida State over Virginia, Duke over UNC. Jen, I'll give you one of those to chat about.
You know what, Tara, you just take it. I'll keep my mouth shut for this section because I really want to talk about UCLA Washington, okay?
Oh my goodness. All right. So we're going to head to our next segment that we're going to get into. And the good thing is, it should be actually Where in the World Are Tara and Jen, but here you go. All right. So where in the world is Tara Henry? Where in the world am I? This weekend, I stayed home and was at Los Angeles for the UCLA Washington series. It was Alumni Day on Saturday. Jen was there. Jen, thoughts on the Bruins and the Huskies this weekend, which was the series that I was most looking forward to?
Yeah, I was looking forward to it too, especially just if we want to rewind last week in Seattle, Oregon versus Washington. Washington's bats were hot. And so UCLA, real short fences. The ball flies there. We know this, right? I did not get to see Friday's game, which Friday's game, I know you were there. That's the game Washington won. And it definitely seemed like momentum was with the Huskies. Saturday on, it was all Bruins from the first inning when Maya Brady stepped up to bat and was able to hit a rocket to right center field. To me, it set the tone. And unquestionably, I feel like the whole stadium felt that UCLA was going to win on Saturday. And then it just became all Bruins. I talked to Heather Tarr after the game, and she said, we're just trying to figure it out. We're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to learn this team. And I feel like when Ruby Malin is in the circle, they have a chance to win every single day. But when you get to her and when you get through her, then I feel like it was all UCLA personally. Tara, did you feel similarly?
Yes. And I can't say enough about Megan Faramo and her performance. Not a lot of strikeout numbers, but I want to say I was very impressed with her and Charlize Palacios and how they worked together in their strategy against the Washington hitters, which, Jen, you said yourself, were very hot last week. So, you know, Yanez got the start on Friday and Sunday, but Megan Faramo was the one that came in and really shut down that offense. And again, you can't say enough about Maya Brady, two home runs, three RBIs on Sunday. But I've got to give a shout out to the bottom of the Bruins lineup in Anna Vines and Kelly Gooden. You know, I love the slappers, Jen. They were six for six on Sunday and really set the table and allowed to turn that lineup over. So if the Bruins are able to get that type of production from the bottom of the lineup to turn it back over, to get to a Savvy Pola, to get to a Maya Brady, that's when we start to see that offense really, really clicking. And like we said, we've got Jordan Woolery on that lineup, as well as Megan Grant, two freshmen that are just really tough out. So in terms of the Bruins and the Huskies, UCLA edges out that series with a run rule victory on Sunday, but again, wasn't impressed with the Bruins. And, you know, the Huskies are tough as well. So I would see that Heather Tarr going back to the drawing board and getting the Huskies through the pack. Any final thoughts on UCLA, Washington, Jen?
For both teams, it's about consistency to me. And both teams just aren't being consistently consistent. And so I think the team in the pack who can figure that out quickly is going to win that conference.
So now we're going to head to our interview with Maya Brady just after the game on Sunday. Here with Maya Brady, UCLA Bruins getting the win over UW, run rule victory. 3-for-4 today with two home runs, three RBIs. Tell me what you were seeing at the plate.
I think they have a great pitching staff, so I kind of knew that the good pitches I had to attack. They came out yesterday and on Friday firing. I think Ruby and Lindsay both did a great job, so they're both amazing pitchers, very competitive, and I knew I had to strike early because they don't give you a lot to hit. So I just went on some good pitches and got lucky, I guess.
And I want to ask you about the bottom of the lineup, 6-for-6 today, Anna Vines and Kelly Gooden. What does that mean for you as them turning the lineup over and to see them perform against Washington this weekend?
Honestly, it just fires me up. They're both so deserving seniors, worked so hard for 4 years. So I'm just so happy for them. And their time's been coming and they've been getting so close and, you know, getting some bad calls and getting robbed and all this stuff. And I'm just so happy that it came in a big weekend and I'm so happy for them.
And heading into the rest of Pac-12 play, what is the mindset for the Bruins as you head into pretty, tough kind of schedule heading here and getting the win over Washington?
I think just playing our game. We're not too focused on anything crazy. And just really staying focused the next couple weeks. Pac is always tough. There's not one bad team. And everybody, you know, everybody wants to beat each other. So we just got to kind of keep our A game up, play our game, and I think we'll be fine.
Thanks so much, Maya.
Thank you.
We're going to now go into, which this is a perfect segue, our podcast Players of the Week. Jen, we're going to start with you, podcast Player of the Week. Who you got?
Well, before this show, I told you I was picking Maya Brady. And in our about hour break preparing, I switched to Jordan Woolery, who, Tara, at the UCLA game, you told me that you feel as though she is the scariest hitter in UCLA's lineup right now. When you look at her numbers and what she did this week, 556, three RBIs, and a bomb, Jordan Woolery gets my pick this week.
Yes, I agree. I think she is the scariest hitter in that UCLA lineup. My pick of the week, we talked about her already, Carlin Pickens, Tennessee, the freshman, throwing 72-74 for the Vols. Again, one-hit shutout against LSU. And like we said, head on over to the site, Graham Hayes, with an incredible piece on Pickens and what she's been able to do at Tennessee. So that's my podcast player of the week. All right. We are going to head into the next segment. We're rolling along here. I think we've got you on.
We're ahead of schedule, Tara. We're ahead of schedule. This means we get to spend extra time dissecting the top 25.
All right. So we're going to go into the top 25. I think there's a slide for this, but Gray normally does this. I can't find it. So we're going to go into the top 25 chat, which we had a lot of questions this week, which last week we didn't have a ton. So we're going to start there. Jen, what did you notice about this top 25 this week in terms of the questions on the website? Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Okay. So first, Tara, do you want to educate the viewers on how the top 25 gets decided? I feel like let's start with a little bit of education. So then we start to explain ourselves a little bit. Then maybe there's some backstory.
I think that's a great, great question, Jen. And someone else on here thinks that's a great question as well. So there are five of us that vote on the top 25 poll. Myself, Gray Robertson, Brandon Potke, Graham Hayes, and Brady Vernon. So there are five of us that vote on this poll. So that is why there's a little bit of difference. Not everybody always agrees on who should be ranked where, but of the five of us, so the four writers and then our normal co-host, which Jen's going to take over his spot apparently, so maybe we'll have six voters next week, vote on the D1 softball poll. Now, there are differing ranking options from each of the voters, but at the end of the day, everybody gets their own vote. So those are the five that vote. So when people come after me or somebody else, or
even me who doesn't vote,
it is all five of us together voting for the top 25 of the week. And there's some discussion that goes back and forth. There's some healthy debate. And that's why I just want to say thank you to the fans and everybody on Twitter today, because I really do think there was an effort to have questions that weren't attacking, more of like actual debate on the top 25. So I want to commend you all, because I think it's really easy to sit behind a computer and go after somebody or something or a poll, but you all were very good this week. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for being so nice. so we're going to start there. So
okay. All right, let's start with Georgia.
Well, good. You want to start somewhere else?
Well, you know what? I was going to say let's start with Alabama. Because okay, just for you viewers at home, I don't vote on this poll, right? So I can look at it, and I don't always agree with it. And even Tara, as a voter, she doesn't always agree with it. And so for me, I want to pose questions to Tara and get her to answer the why behind it. So Tara, why is Alabama where they are? Tell us.
So Jen knows, because Jen and I talk every day, Alabama is currently at 15. Now, so how this also works. So if teams above you lose, that means you get to move up, right? So Bama has some really good wins, including a win over Florida State that it was at. They have some really bad losses as well. But in looking at a body of work as a voter, the Alabama Crimson Tide, you could argue, honestly, I'll be honest with you all, you could argue anywhere from the 10 through 2020 that those teams could be mixed up. I will be really honest with you all. I think 1 through 8, 1 through 9 it's really, really solid. After that, you're picking from a body of work where, as Jen said, no one has really been that consistent. think we're looking for consistency. A series win over Arkansas tonight is gonna be big for Alabama, and then next week against Tennessee, that's gonna be big. But when you have a Montana Fouts in the circle, it's really, really an advantage for the Crimson Tide. But also Jayla Torrence, who Jen, you and I talked about in terms of stats, her advanced stats, if you're looking at what she does in balls that are hit in play, she's holding opposing offenses to 194 average. So we're taking a look at that. So in terms of Bama, do I personally think they should be at 15? I don't know that Alabama should be that high, but again, there's five of us that are voting on this poll. So again, the Crimson Tide, if they win tonight against Arkansas, that helps them out. And next week, if they can get a win or two off of Tennessee, that'll show that they do have the ability to put those big wins over teams. Mm-hmm. So that's my thought on Bama. Jen, I want to hear your thoughts on Bama.
I don't think they're a top 15 team right now, but that doesn't mean that they can't be even a top 8 team at the end of the year. And I think because I do vote on polls and I have voted on this poll in the past, I don't this year, but I have. I think when you put your mind in, or you put yourself in the mind of a voter, you weigh different things, and everyone does it a little bit differently. For me, I do value tradition. I value people who have been there and played there. I do predict a little bit. How do I think people are going to end up? And I don't necessarily know if that's right, but that's just how I personally do it a little bit. So I understand why certain voters on your poll have Alabama where they do, because they have Montana Fouts. And with Montana Fouts in the circle, you can win any single game, bottom line, end of story. The team that I think is ranked too high, Tara, and I haven't even told you this, is LSU. LSU is at number 8. You said 10 and below can go anywhere. LSU was 2-4 last week. They lost 4 games last week, including a loss to South Carolina and a sweep at home. Why are they at 8?
So LSU is sitting at 8. They're 23-5. And again, I think you're taking a look at a top 8, where do you put a Kentucky there? Do you put a Florida there? Do you put a Texas there? Do those three teams, are they going to be at the Women's College World Series? Is their body of work better? Is a Washington better that just dropped 2 games to UCLA? You could argue that. Again, I think we're splitting hairs here, but in terms of the Tigers, I think Tennessee is argued, mm-hmm. I can't wait. I want to see Tennessee versus OU. I think Tennessee is one of the toughest teams in the country. And I know in terms of facing that pitching staff, I don't think those losses, that 2-4, is a normal 2-4, is what I'm saying. Because you're losing to a Tennessee Vols team that is arguably has one of the best staffs in the country. So in terms of LSU, I'm looking at that. I watched them here at Cal State Fullerton. They have the tools. Kel Ponen has the stuff. And that offense can go when it can go. And they're winning the games that they were losing last year. We're seeing that little slip, so we'll see if LSU can get back into it. But again, losses against Tennessee are very different than losses, unranked losses, in my opinion.
They lost to South Carolina last week too, which is interesting. Okay, tell me about Georgia.
So we're going to take a look at Georgia, which I think we've got questions on Georgia here. I was going to try and get it up on the screen. But Georgia sweeping first SEC series. Again, Rhiannon Potke pulling this out for us. Oh, thanks. We got somebody helping us out here.
I guess I can't take Gray's job just yet if I don't know how to do this, Tara. So.
Georgia's last SEC sweep was the final series in 2019. First series sweep on the road since 2016. And when we're talking about the SEC here, and I know we've got a lot of comments about SEC biased, and I don't have SEC bias. If you know me, you know I don't have SEC bias. So I think it's great that you think that, but I don't have SEC bias. But I do watch a lot of games. And in terms of the SEC, it is a difficult conference to play week in and week out. I've had this conversation with numerous people. Does it mean more? I don't know if it means more. I think it maybe hurts more. I think when you're having to battle every week, that is something that you have to look to towards the end of the season. The good thing about it is RPI. So if you're in the SEC, you don't have to worry about your RPI once you get into conference play. So in terms of Georgia, for what they did, the sweep on the road against South Carolina, that's why they jumped. And again, a lot of those teams in between, if you look at the poll from this week to last week, have losses. And that's why Georgia jumped this week in our poll. Jen, your thoughts on Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you see any team jump 9 spots, it's glaring, right? But when you think about the SEC, iron sharpens iron. So I also do not have SEC bias. However, day in and day out, it's an absolute grind. So them sweeping A&M, let's remember what A&M did last week. They took 2 of 3 from Arkansas in Fayetteville. So A&M is a team on the rise. A&M is a team that truly, I think, can win ball games that people assume they're going to lose. And so to sweep a team like that, who just took a series from potentially a top 10, top 15 Arkansas team at their house, that's a really big win for Georgia.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jen. I was saying South Carolina, except South Carolina, Mississippi State on here. It's okay. That's much easier. So that's it for top 25 questions. Let's see if we've got anything else. I think this is a really good question. Again, those losses to UCLA, I would weight those losses personally in my poll a little bit higher, because I think losing to UCLA is a little bit different. Again, Florida's going to have some tests throughout the SEC, but Washington, again, you could argue body of work is good. Losses, not in terms of losses, Washington, early losses, but I can't give an honest and like in terms of my poll. Yeah, I would put Washington above a Florida. But again, if we're looking down the road, you're looking at a Florida team that is historically goes far in the postseason. But Washington, you're looking pretty even there in terms of my opinion of Washington and Florida, Jen.
It's hard because I think when you get into these polls, you start thinking about matchups, right? Like, why is Washington ranked below Florida? But then when you think about a matchup, Florida versus Washington, who are we picking? We're probably all picking Washington, right? And so it's a tough one to battle. I agree. I would have Washington above Florida in my personal poll.
All right. Well, that is it for the top 25 questions. Anything else we will answer on Twitter. I try not to answer them right away on Twitter so that we can actually address them here on the podcast so that you all can actually get on here and ask those questions. But again, it's really easy for us to see these questions on YouTube. So if you're on YouTube, that's probably the best way. And Facebook, we can get some comments on Facebook here. So that's the top 25 as well. Oh, we've got one more. Is it okay to disagree with what you're saying? Absolutely. That's
of course
it is. So that's the thing. Like, we want to foster a really healthy debate here on this podcast, on Twitter. It's okay to not agree at the end of the day. So we all are entitled to our opinions. And guess what? At the end of the day, the NCAA looks at the RPI. And that committee is going to go in and they're going to look at the RPI. And that is what they're going to make these seeds on. Does the D1 softball poll have some weight? I think it helps other polls vote. I'm going to be honest with you all, because we're coming out on Monday and we take the heat, and I'm totally fine with that we take the heat, because I also think it makes people more educated on how to vote or their opinions. So in terms of that, we're okay with it. But again, Stanford. Oh, here we go.
I know. Stanford above UCLA. This is interesting to me. And I think Jane Doe, or whatever her name is.
Lance. Jane.
Okay. So Jane Doe said, Lance, we'll find out in 2 weeks. And I think that's a series that everybody is waiting for. I think right now you can't have Stanford above UCLA. Now, does that mean that it's going to stay that way? Absolutely not. I think we have to see that head-to-head matchup. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, UCLA losses to OU, Cal, and Washington, and then Stanford's losses are to OU, Duke, and Oregon. So we're looking at two squads that, again, agree. We're taking a look at what that's going to be down the line. All right, I'm going to go to you, Jen. How is Texas A&M ranked?
I think that their series win over Arkansas I think that's it for me. It is so tough to win on the road, let alone in Fayetteville. Arkansas at the time was a top 10 team, and they go in and they get run ruled on Friday night. And then they throw a shutout and get the series win on Sunday. So for me, that's how they're ranked.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. We talked about this earlier about Texas A&M. Again, not as consistent. Obviously, the losses at Georgia, but they'll face Kentucky next. So a good test in the SEC to see if Texas A&M is here to stay. Trisha Ford and Emily Kennedy was able to watch her throw. Any staff that has an Emily Kennedy on it, same thing with Montana Fouts. We could talk about this across the country. We talk about matchups. We talk about arms. Emily Kennedy, really impressed with her. And also Trisha Ford, a proven winner in what she's been able to do just in a short amount of time there. Again, another great leader there at Texas A&M. All right, now we're done. But we had to take that question from Lance. Thank you, Lance, for that. And for the smiley face that also makes us happy. So that's it for the top 25 questions. Whew.
We made it, Tara. We made it.
We made it. I mean, goodness gracious. All right. So we're going to head into our win probability play of the week. Utah at Arizona. Jen, I know you are following this really closely, this Utah at Arizona series. Most exciting game of the week by our partners at 643 Charts. Again, we've got win probability models on every single game in Division One. Yes, you heard that correctly. Every single game in Division One has a win probability chart attached to it on our website. So you can go and see the win probability throughout every single game. Jen, Utah at Arizona, this 9-inning barn burner there in Utah in the 9th inning, 100% to win.
Let me break this down for you guys. It's the 7th inning, okay? It's the 7th inning. Utah's are obviously already won game one on Friday night. They're going for their 12th consecutive win. They are down by 3 in the 7th inning. We're forced to extras. Utah scores 3 in the 9th. Guess what? Arizona hits a 3-run bomb. Sophia Carroll ties the game. Allie Skaggs walks it off. It's a 10-9 win at Hillenbrand. After Utah, what is the win probability? I don't even understand these charts. I think they're really cool, but I don't know how to read them if I'm being completely honest. They're way over my head. But all I know is there are really big peaks and valleys on that chart. That's what I know. I know it was a really good and fun game to watch. It was 9-9 in the 9th, but that chart, I mean, what 643 does is incredible, but I can't read the charts. I'm sorry, Tara.
So maybe we have to go. We'll do this tomorrow with Natalie Hansen, our friend at 643 Charts, and we'll maybe go through how to read those win pro. It's pretty simple. So you just go to the out. Every out is on there on the chart, and then it gives you the probability of percentage-wise of who's going to win at that point in the game. And these charts get smarter throughout the season because they gather data from the games that have happened in the 2023 season. So they get smarter as the season goes on. But we're going to have to better explain that, and we'll do that tomorrow with Natalie Hansen on our 643 Charts Stat Chat tomorrow. So I'll take care of that for you. So that's our win probably play of the week. All right, we're on the home stretch here. Believe it or not, Jen, we're on the home stretch. Here's the next three big things.
I think people are loving it. People are loving it, Tara.
I'm sure. Here we go. Three big things. We're going through. We're previewing the weekend. All right. Three big things. We're heading into next week. Unless anybody has any more questions about anything for Jen. Put them on here, and I'm sure she'll be able to answer them. So SEC series of the week, Jen, Alabama, Tennessee. What are we calling it? What's it being called?
Okay, so in our ESPN group chat, Michelle Smith is calling it. I don't know if this is a Michelle Smith naming this or if ESPN's actually going to name it this, but it's called the Throwback Throwdown. So Alabama, Tennessee, you're talking about some great matchups of the past. Two of my peers at ESPN, Madison Shipman and Caleb Rowe, used to go head to head. So I'm unsure if Michelle's calling it that just because of them, but that's going to be a good one because obviously we've been talking about Tennessee. they're the best team in the conference right now, but Alabama has that tradition. They won the first NCAA championship in the SEC, so we're calling it a throwback throwdown.
All right, so that's the game or the series of the week in the SEC. Now we're going to head to the Pac, UCLA at Oregon, UCLA having to go up to the Jane. I think this is going to be tough for the Bruins. Jen, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are UCLA does not sweep. I think UCLA is going to consistently drop a game in the pack this year.
And there she goes. She's out. that's the Pac-12, UCLA at Oregon. Then we're going to head to the ACC, Florida State at Duke. Oh, she's back. She's just dramatic. I mean, I think it's just a dramatic exit and entrance every single time.
I'm doing nothing except for, you know, giving my opinions here, and it's kicking me off. It doesn't like them.
Then we're going to go to Florida State at Duke, which I think is going to be a good series in the SEC. Jen, thoughts on Florida State at Duke?
I think it's going to be a really good series. You know, an interesting stat we didn't talk about is that Florida State, or Sandercock, had never thrown an individual no-hitter until last weekend. When I read that, I didn't believe it. I actually, when I was writing notes, I said first ACC no-hitter. No, it's her first ever no-hitter. And so I'm giving that series to Florida State, but congratulations to Kat Sandercock, because she's an incredible pitcher. And for her to never have a no-hitter, that surprised me.
I'm right there with you. And again, I've got to give props to our writers on the site, Rhiannon Podkey, Graham Hayes, and Brady Vernon, for literally pulling all of what we have and putting it down on our site. And that was one of them. Reza, can you believe this? this is Kat Sandercock's first, I'm like, what? Are you serious? Same thing. So again, congratulations to her. Then we've got Baylor at Oklahoma State. I think that's going to be a good series. Baylor hit a little bit of a skid as of late and struggled a bit, but I think that's going to be a good series with the Cowgirls. Jen, thoughts on Baylor and Oklahoma State?
I'd love to see great Baylor show up, because I think Oklahoma State's still winning ball games, obviously a top ranked team, but Kelly Maxwell's ERA is lifting a little bit. She's still one of the best arms in the game, no doubt, but a competitive series there. And I think we could see Baylor steal some games.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that as well. Others to watch: Wichita State and the American at UCF. Another good series to watch. That's heading into the week. And don't worry, we're going to have all the information up for you on the site on d1softball.com. We'll have what to watch heading into the weekend. And that's it for the week. But Jen, I want to get your final thoughts on the state of D1 softball, where we're at, and where you think we're going.
When you asked me that, I thought you meant your company, and I was going to tell you that I think D1 softball is the only place to go get up-to-date information. I mean, I really thought you were asking me to give a pitch for people to sign up for D1 softball. Use podcast 20. Why are you not a member yet? If you are not signed up for D1 softball, I really don't know what you're doing, because there's nobody in the game who's covering this sport from a more well-rounded scope. And you're right. What your writers do, Graham Hayes, Rhiannon Podkey, Brady Vernon, they're really unbelievable in what they do. And I got to tell you, me and all my peers at ESPN, we go to D1 softball to learn so much. And so if you're not signed up for D1 softball, I think you need to register. Tonight is the night, podcast 20. I wish they'd like set up Gen 25 and get you a little bit of a discount, but they probably won't do that. But where's the state of D1 softball right now? I mean, it's exciting. We're growing every single year. You go back to the World Series every year and it's bigger and there's more little girls. I mean, one of my favorite moments from this weekend was watching my 2-year-old daughter in the bullpen with her glove, walking up to Megan Framo, and Alyssa Garcia was playing catch with her. And I think little girls are watching this sport more. I'm at my facility and I'm looking at 60 girls training and their parents, and they're all fans of this sport. And it's really cool to see these little girls with big dreams, some of which were once the little girl and now they're playing their big dream out in college softball. So I'm really excited about the growth of this sport, and it just means so much to me.
I love that. Well, Jen, thank you so much for being the best cheerleader always and supporter and a friend, but also for your insight. Just incredible for you to come on here and do this for us and fill in for Gray. And I know how busy you are and always prepared, which is what we love about Jen Schroeder. She's always prepared and hot takes galore, which we always love. You're going to get the truth. All right, Tara Henry for D1 Softball, Jen Schroeder, our co-host. Let us know if you want to have her back. I mean, I got to talk to Gray about this, but maybe we can have Jen Tro back here if you guys like her. Just let us know. Tara Henry for Jen Schroeder.
Bye, thanks everybody. Thanks for having me.